You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. If you're enjoying our little corner of the podcasting world, I'd love it if you take a moment to share it with a friend. First up this week, we're going to discuss a destination that's been on my radar for quite a few years, even though I haven't managed to get there yet. And for those of you interested in Costa Rica and everything it has to offer, we have a giveaway of a guidebook just finished up by Nikki Solano. Nikki is a Canadian transplant in Costa Rica who knows the local area better than anyone I've spoken with. If you listen in today, you'll probably learn some great tips like I did, and we'll have instructions on how to win a copy of Nikki's book in the show notes. After that, we'll tell you about the highest sign-up offer ever for an IHG credit card. We've definitely had some good offers come out so far this year on credit cards for sign-up bonuses, and we'll walk you through how you could use that IHG sign-up bonus to cover your hotel rooms for a nice vacation in a tropical destination like Aruba, with no cash out of your pocket for those hotel rooms. Lastly, we'll wrap up the show talking a bit about coronavirus in the final two pennies. Are you ready? Let's jump into Costa Rica. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and we're talking about Costa Rica, which we haven't talked about yet on the show in a detailed sense. It's been a place that's been on my radar for a number of years, ever since Hyatt became affiliated with the Andaz Papagayo, which is sort of one of those like properties that's high on my wish list. So, when we talk about destinations, I love to find out what I can find out from experts, people that been to a place a number of times. And Nikki Solano is a Costa Rica expert. She's ninja level, where I am purely an amateur when it comes to planning my first trip there. And she's joining us today to sort of go over what you should expect from a Costa Rica trip and some of the best ways to save money if it's on your radar. And I can assure you, Costa Rica should be on your radar, right, Nikki?
Definitely.
So we're going to have a bunch of Nikki's resources in our show notes, and she's certainly going to talk about some of those on the show with us. But I think where I want to get started here, and I certainly have a bit of an inkling, but for folks that maybe aren't as familiar with Costa Rica and just think of it like, well, it's one of those places down in the Caribbean and Central America where it's warm and there's beaches and, you know, pretty trees and all that stuff. Why should people pick Costa Rica for vacation versus any of those other like warm, tropical, lush destinations?
Ed, that's a really good question. And to be honest, I could go on for hours about all the great reasons to come to Costa Rica. But I think for most people, the thing that does it is Costa Rica is such a small country, but it's jam-packed with so much to see and do. So you don't need a lot of time. If you have, say, even a week or 10 days, you can come here and you can swim in waterfalls and visit volcano craters, soak in hot springs. You can hike in national parks. You can tour coffee plantations. There's just so much you can do. And because the country is so small, it's very easy to get around and do all of these things with a short amount of time.
You know, for folks who... I don't want to insult any listeners, but from a map standpoint, I think sometimes folks don't have a great realization that Costa Rica is probably closer than they think. And I'll use my geographic node as sort of our example here.
Sure.
You know, Southwest flies from BWI down to Costa Rica. I live near Washington, D.C., and it's about 2,000 miles, which is shorter than the distance between D.C. and L.A. So
Right. You're
looking at, you know, a 3 to 4 hour flight, probably 4 hour flight to get down there nonstop. And as the airlines have expanded, there are a number of nonstop options that really do make Costa Rica an option for folks to consider.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm originally from Canada, and so I'm even further north than you are. And my flight, when I'm visiting family in Canada, my flight's about five and a half hours, which when you think about it, isn't that long. And it's just so tiny here. You mentioned you're from close to DC, so you might kind of appreciate this a little bit more. But Costa Rica is actually smaller than the state of West Virginia.
Yeah.
It's only about 50 square kilometers or 20 square miles. So it's tiny. And when you're here, you can actually travel from the Caribbean coast down to the Pacific coast in about four and a half hours. So, I mean, there's so much that you can do here in just this tiny little space. And once you get here, like you said, it can be a very short flight. Especially, we have a lot of people that come down from Florida, Texas, even California, and in a couple hours, they're here. So it's definitely a very accessible destination.
For folks who, you know, who have been to, say, Hawaii, and again, I don't want to, there's that whole slew of people out there that know that I haven't been to Hawaii yet. It's on my list. but if you're an East Coast person and you want to go somewhere lush and tropical, again, Costa Rica is not Hawaii. They're different, but I think they're both special in their own special way. You know, from the East Coast, that's a 10-hour flight to get to Hawaii, where you could be at Costa Rica in as little as 3 or 4 hours, depending on where you're at on the coast. And, you know, you mentioned waterfalls. Give me an idea, you know, what are some of your favorite activities, or what's a favorite place that you like there that that could give people an idea of what to expect?
Oh, there's so many. For me personally, my favorite place in Costa Rica is a river called the Pecuari River. And it's just magical. It holds a special place in my heart. It's actually where I met my Costa Rican husband about 13 years ago. He was a whitewater rafter and a safety kayaker at the time. And I was on my first solo backpacking trip through Central America. So we met on a whitewater rafting tour, and I have loved that river ever since. It's beautiful. It's set in the middle of the Costa Rican jungle. You flow past these beautiful, tall, natural waterfalls. You can only reach the river by raft or by kayak, so there's not a lot of people around. And it's really remote feeling, so it really makes me feel at one with nature when I'm there. So that's kind of like my special place in Costa Rica.
I love it. I love it. And it's stories like that I hear from folks who have been to Costa Rica that really have had it on our top five for a while. It's mostly just been price that hasn't quite worked out for us. Yeah. We still have school age kids, and so we travel when everybody else travels. And I think that's a good segue for us as well, just to sort of talk about pricing. You know, I've only dabbled a little bit. I think when I go, I'll use Hyatt points for that Andaz Papagayo. So I haven't looked deeply at hotel pricing. I know a little bit about airline pricing, but how would you say, you know, a trip to Costa Rica compares with other Caribbean or Central American destinations as far as, you know, either flights or hotels or food or activities?
Yeah, that's a really good question. To be honest, I've only traveled to about 4 other tropical countries other than Costa Rica, so I don't have a great frame of reference here. But I've talked to a lot of travelers, and the feedback that I've gotten from them is that Costa Rica is actually kind of expensive. But I think where that comes from is the standard of living and the minimum wage here are a lot higher than in other tropical countries. So I think that's driven up the prices of tourism as well. But that being said, you can do Costa Rica on the cheap, definitely. There are tons of ways to save money here. And yes, you can have, you know, that Andaz 5-star experience, which is well worth it. I can even talk to you separately about it if you're thinking of planning a family trip, because it's beautiful and one of my favorite resorts in the country, to be honest. But you can also do a lot to save money and have a very affordable vacation here, even though it does tend to be above average in terms of pricing in tropical countries.
And we are about saving money on the Miles to Go podcast. We love finding good deals, and we do keep an eye on cheap airfares and stuff like that. But, you know, Costa Rica obviously is a very special country. And, you know, I'm curious what tidbits you could give us on what are some strategies or tips that you could give listeners on ways that they might save money when planning their trip to Costa Rica.
Sure. So my husband and I are all about saving money. Sometimes we have the resort level experience, but we tend to side towards economy hotels, hostels, even standard hotels, because there's so many in Costa Rica, so you can really get by with not spending a lot of money. The biggest tip that we have, and this is a bit of a plug for us, but we're actually discount operators in Costa Rica. So our business, Pura Vida A, supplies travelers with hundreds of free discounts for Costa Rica tours. So for example, if you and your family came to Costa Rica and you were looking at the various things to do here, and you decided that you wanted to go ziplining or whitewater rafting or go visit the hanging bridges, for example, we can help you gain access to those activities for less money than if you were to do them on your own. So what we do is we supply those discounts. And then when the tourists come to Costa Rica and they go to those places, so they go whitewater rafting or ziplining, what have you, they pay the tour operators less than if they were to do them themselves. So number one tip would be to contact us first, or at least go to our website and see what discounts we have available. They're always changing. We usually have about 200 to 300 available at all times. So you can search through our, what we call our discount database, and kind of filter through based on the price that you want to spend or the activities you have in mind, or even the destinations that you plan to visit in Costa Rica. And you can see what discounts are available there. The other tip I have is to definitely travel during the low season. So Costa Rica's low season typically runs from May until mid-December. And at that time of year, hotels have their prices at the lowest rates. So if you're concerned about pricing, stick to travel between May and December. That should help you save a little as well.
That's a long low season.
That is a long low season. Yeah, it is.
What would people expect to find during that time period? I mean, I know we're in the hurricane season, but Costa Rica's a bit out of the normal path for hurricanes. So what might they be sacrificing if they came during low season?
Sure. So the low season typically coincides with the green season in Costa Rica, which is also known as the wet season. It's when we receive the highest amount of rainfall. There are some exceptions. There are a couple of months, usually around September and October, where the Caribbean season tends to see its nicer weather. But for the most part, you'll get into some rain, some higher winds at higher elevations. And there are some other issues to consider. If you're wanting to be quite active, sometimes higher wind and rain levels can lead to some tour cancellations. So if you're wanting to do things like go ziplining or go whitewater rafting, it's important to note that there could be some tour cancellations along the way. So that's just something else to consider.
And then you mentioned a bunch of different lodging options. I'm curious, and as I said, I've been focusing on Papagayo. Mm-hmm. You know, if folks are looking around at options, is there a vacation sharing community like Airbnb, VRBO in Costa Rica?
There are. I mean, Airbnb is growing like it is everywhere. They're popping for up sure. all over Costa Rica. The thing to note with Airbnbs is that a lot of tour operators here in Costa Rica won't include tour transportation to and from Airbnb vacation rental homes.
Interesting.
So yeah, so it's just it can be an extra expense. So for instance, if you're planning to visit say La Fortuna, which is the epicenter of adventure, kind of the top destination in Costa Rica, if you choose to stay at one of say hundreds of hotels that are in that area, then the tour operator will come and pick you up at your hotel for free. But if you choose to stay at an Airbnb, which are usually on the outskirts of town, you may have to pay extra for your tours if you need transportation. So sometimes the Airbnbs can be more affordable, so you save money there, but then you end up spending a little bit more money on the transportation for tours if you're planning to be active. So just something else to think about when you're choosing your accommodations.
Yeah, definitely worthwhile. And I don't, you know, our family doesn't love the Airbnb path, but there are a lot of my listeners who are diehard converts, and I think it's great for them to understand that there might be some extra expenses and or some extra time coordinating tours if they choose to stay off the beaten path. And, you know, Airbnb can save a ton of money, but you've got to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into.
That's right. That's right. I should also mention that something I think that's different about Costa Rica that I'm not sure if all other tropical destinations have this, but quite popular in Costa Rica are something called city-to-city transportation inclusive tours. Some companies also call them adventure connections. And what those are activities that include transportation between two destinations in their rates. So for instance, if you were to fly in to the Juan Santa Maria Airport, which is just outside of Costa Rica's capital city of San Jose, you could actually get picked up at your hotel in San Jose, do a tour such as whitewater rafting or zip lining or waterfall rappelling on the way to another destination, and then get dropped off at the other destination for free. So if you're trying to save money in Costa Rica, a really good tip is to focus on those types of tours, because then you save the money of the transportation from city to city.
That's great. That is a very good tip for folks. I appreciate it. Well, guys, we're going to have a giveaway for some great stuff. And as you'll see in the show notes, Nikki has tons of resources for folks, courses and books and all kinds of stuff to make sure that you've got the best Costa Rica vacation. And obviously the travel resources on her own site. We'll have links to all of it in the show notes, as well as a pretty cool giveaway that you guys can sign up for. Nikki, if people want to find out more, if Costa Rica's on their radar, which I certainly believe it should be because it's been on ours for a solid 3 years now, where can they find out more? Where can they track you down?
Sure. So you can find me online at our blog, CostaRicaTravelBlog.com. You can also find us on our business website, Pura Vida A. And if you're interested in purchasing a Moon Costa Rica, which is the new Costa Rica guidebook that we just published through Moon Travel Guides, you can find that and more information about the book online at moon.com.
I love the Pura Vida A part, Canadians.
It is. Yeah. Canadians recognize us right away.
They certainly do. Well, Nikki, thanks a ton for being on the show. I will certainly take you up on helping give me some tips for our Costa Rica vacation when it's time to plan it. But until then, safe travels.
Wonderful. Thanks, Ed, and Pura Vida.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and we're talking deals with Jen from Deals We Like, and we like big credit card sign-up bonuses. And today, under the subject of really unique, long, wordy names for credit cards, we are talking about the IHG Rewards Club Premier credit card. Hey, Jen. The year's starting out good with sign-up bonuses. You know, I'm not a big follower of IHG, so off the top of my head, when I first read this, I couldn't quite tell how much 140,000 bonus points was. So I think that's probably a good place for our readers to, just in case they're not big IHG fans. So when we look at the sign-up bonus here, how far should 140,000 points get them?
Sure. So typically you can buy IHG points for about a half a cent per point. A lot of times they run 100% bonus offers. So really most people consider IHG points worth about 0.5 cents. So 140,000 points, about $700 worth of hotels. Definitely not as big as, you know, some of those cards that will give you $1,000 plus, but in the IHG world, this is actually the highest offer we've seen thus far.
Yeah. And it's a pretty reasonable annual fee card if you're going to hold it. And as you outlined in your post, there's some other perks, especially if you're somebody who, you know, who happens to, you know, either frequent IHG on a regular basis or enjoys family travel and can squeeze in, say, like the free night benefit.
Absolutely. So this is one of those cards where the benefits outweigh the annual fee tremendously. I know some other cards, you know, you kind of break even, or maybe you're even coming out below the annual fee's value. But this is a card where, you know, an $89 annual fee really gives you some pretty awesome perks. So in addition to the current sign-up offer, you'll also get the same perks that you always would. And if you've, you know, signed up in our previous offer, you still get these same benefits. So these benefits are not tied to the actual welcome offer, but just everyone gets them on an annual basis. And we can go through some of them as well. So like Ed said, the best perk that comes on with this card is on your card member anniversary, you'll get a free night. It used to be uncapped for years and years. And that was amazing. Now it's capped at a property that costs 40,000 points, which is probably like their mid-tier. Although with that being said, there are some good hidden gems. I always like to talk about the Holiday Inn Resort in Aruba. Not the fanciest hotel right on the strip in Palm Beach, Aruba, but a nice hotel and the exact same beach as any other property there.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. There's been a number of years since my wife and I have been back to Aruba, but I mean, all of those properties, I mean, gosh, if you're in Aruba and you're spending a bunch of time in your room, you're doing it wrong.
Right. Yeah. I will say my parents just signed up for this card solely for that property in Aruba, and they will be going there. And for them, it's a place to lay their head. Their actual pool area is quite nice, and it's right next to the beach. And the restaurant's all the same, right across the street. And perfect example. So you can get this card, use a sign-up bonus points to stay there, also get your free night. With that being said, this is one of those properties I wouldn't be surprised if one day it changes in category. But for now, it's a great opportunity. There's also other, you know, nice gems near Disney World, Disneyland, and we like to stay at actually a lot when we're traveling, you know, random places, like staying at the airport the night before or whatever. We always get that $89 fee plus more. Sometimes at least $150 value, I'd say.
And that's where IHG has been valuable for me in that. It's, you know, going to visit family, smaller fringe towns, there'll be, you know, reasonable properties and the points have a lot of the value there. But I mean, here we're talking about 140,000 bonus points. If you use them right, you know, you could get three nights at that Holiday in Aruba currently. And that sort of dovetails nicely into the fourth night free benefit yes. on awards days as well, because you could actually turn into four nights.
Right. So the second benefit that I really, really like with this card is when you use your points, if you stay three nights, you get your fourth night free. While some other programs like Hilton and Marriott have your fifth night free, for some reason, I never am staying at a property for those five nights. But four nights is definitely more probable, I guess. So getting your fourth night free is pretty awesome. And that's only when you use points, though. So you can't combine that with a free night award that you get on an annual basis. So let's say you get 140,000 points, you redeem 120,000 points for three nights, then you'll get your fourth night free. So for 120,000 points, you can stay at that property in Aruba for four nights.
Yeah.
Without having to do anything else, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, not only that, if you have the old IHG credit card, so I still have it, it's not available for new applicants. That perk, you get 10% rebate on your points redeemed. So if you have both credit cards, for example, you can get your fourth night free and 10% rebate on the points redeemed, utilizing both benefits.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think IHG is a great winner for business travel and that sort of accrual of points in that fashion personally, but I do think there are some great
it's
values.
It's not, but people like Kimpton's yeah. a lot. Like yeah. my husband, you know, they all come to me, all of his coworkers, they all travel on a weekly basis. And one of his coworkers is gung-ho Kimpton right now. And I tried to change her over, but she's loving the Kimpton brand. That's all for business travel. So
yeah, the Kimpton brand's definitely nice. I wish there were more of them, but they're right. hard to maintain a steady business travel diet on those, unless you go to totally. The same places every week. And that's, you know, then that's certainly an option.
Right. Absolutely. Other benefits with this card is that you'll get global entry reimbursed. I know a lot of cards come with that, but if you need to renew your global entry or if you don't yet have global entry, this card will reimburse that $100 fee. One really, really nice perk of that. And overall, I mean, just a really a good opportunity. I used my free nights last year in Lisbon at the IHG Intercontinental property there. Great property.
Great city, too. One of my favorites.
Great city.
Yeah.
Definitely recommend going. Ed and I were there both last summer. We didn't overlap, though. And so to stay free at a nice property in Lisbon was great. Or let's even call it just $89 because the annual fee. I have the card. My husband has the card, so we both got it. So it's a great, great offer. Great card to have. One that I do not use for everyday spend. It sits in the sock drawer. You're not going to get great value on your regular purchases on dining and groceries and restaurants and hotel stays. So it's a card that I use solely for the benefits.
Yeah, cool. Well, I think this is another one for folks to be considering this year. Between this and the increased offer on the Southwest card, we're starting out January with some really great offers for people to think about adding to their wallet. It's also a great time, as always, to just think about what those other cards are doing in your wallet. Make sure that you've got cards that are maximizing the value for your everyday spending as well as all those bonus categories. Jen, thanks for being on. Tell folks where they can track you down when you're not hopping on the podcast with me.
Thanks so much for having me, Ed. You can find me at my blog, dealswelike.com. Send me an email, dealswelike@gmail.com, or visit me on any of the social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anything @dealswelike.
Thanks, Jen. Safe travels.
Thanks, you too.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. I have a few quick thoughts on coronavirus, the virus that's causing much well-founded concern for people worldwide right now. First, a friend of mine who's in the medical field has been studying the numbers. He seems to think that the pace of newly reported cases and fatalities may be slowing down. It's certainly way too early to claim victory, and safety really should be your primary concern here, especially because we're not entirely sure if we're getting accurate information from China, which seems to be ground zero for coronavirus. If you have non-essential travel to affected countries like China, you should think long and hard before taking that trip. I'm not a monsters under the bed sort of guy, and we've certainly seen worse epidemics over the course of history. but we still don't know a lot about the virus. This is one of those times where I think it's much better to be safe than sorry. And you may not have, even have a choice about flying to these affected areas. Many flights, especially from the U.S. to China, have been suspended for a month or longer while the situation is sorted out. And there are plenty of quarantines in place worldwide for passengers who have traveled from one of these affected zones. I'm trying to put together a more detailed episode about coronavirus for the near future, as well as some more information about the disease and any quarantines in place. But take all of this with a grain of salt. You know, it's a fast evolving situation, and if you don't need to be there, it's probably a good time to stay home. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. You can find links to everything we discussed today in the show notes. And if you're looking to win a copy of the Costa Rica Travel Guide from Nikki Solano, look for the link in the show notes. We'll have a giveaway where you can earn a chance to win by signing up for our newsletter or following us on social media. And don't worry, if you already get our newsletter, you won't get two copies by signing up for the book giveaway. Big thanks to Nikki and Jen for joining the show today, as well as producer Mike for helping us sound good on the airwaves. And thanks to all of you for tuning into this week's show. If you have any questions or suggestions for a future show, you can drop me an email at ed@pizzainmotion.com. And you can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. Until we upload again, we've got miles to go.